This is lesson HBS 150, and the title of this lesson is The Five Full-Time Ministries, The Apostle, Part 2. In this lesson, we're going to get into the types of the apostle. We're going to find out in this lesson there are really four types of apostle. First of all, I'll just summarize these types, and then we'll get into it in more detail. First of all, there was Jesus himself. Jesus is called an apostle and high priest of our profession in Hebrews 3:1. Secondly, there are foundational apostles, and of these, there are two types. They are the apostle of the Lamb, which there were 12, that's talked about in Revelation chapter 21, and then there were other foundational apostles that weren't these apostles of the Lamb, which, as I say, we'll discuss later. That would be three types of apostles so far. And finally, they are the type of apostle that exists in the modern day, which we call missionaries, and we'll talk more about that later as well. But I just wanted to establish that there are four types of apostles. Jesus was the chief apostle. We'll talk about that. Then there are two types of foundational apostles, the apostles of the Lamb, and then the other foundational apostles that weren't apostles of the Lamb. Those were only 12 apostles of the Lamb. And then finally, there will be the apostles of today, which, as I say, are often called missionaries. Okay, let's go now and talk about Jesus, the chief apostle. Back in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it calls Jesus the apostle and high priest of our profession. Let's go read that. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And so Jesus is called an apostle. Now remember, our definition of apostle simply means a sent one, one sent by God to found and establish churches, or like Jesus, who was sent from the Father to make atonement for the sins of the world. So Jesus was a sent one, wasn't he? If we want to look at that, let's look at John 5:30, and it talks about Jesus being a sent one. John chapter 5, verse 30 says, Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. So Jesus was a sent one. Jesus was the original apostle, if you will. He's called an apostle and high priest of our profession, as I said in Hebrews 3:1. And here we find out that he was truly a sent one from his Father. So Jesus was a sent one from the Father to make atonement for the sins of the world. He was also sent here to be an example for us, because remember, Jesus said in John 14:12, He that believeth on me in my name shall he do the works that I do, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And so just by way of review, we know that Jesus came here to atone for the sins of the world. That was number one. And number two was to be our example in ministry. And so we've covered all that in previous lessons. And so Jesus was sent here to do that, and he was the original apostle. He was a sent one. He's also the only one who ever walked the earth that had anointing on his ministry without measure. Right here in John 5, turn back to John 3:34 and see that it says, For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. That is, talking about Jesus, God did not give the Spirit by measure unto him. In other words, Jesus was given the Holy Spirit without measure. Whereas we, when we minister, we have the Holy Spirit by measure. And I'll get to those scriptures later on. But as we see, Jesus was the only person sent by God who ever had the ministry gifts without measure. He had a higher degree of anointing than anyone ever had or ever will have in ministry. In addition to being the first apostle, as I said, Jesus stood at the head of the list in each ministry gift. And I could show that Jesus held all the fivefold ministry gifts with a power and anointing without measure. a degree of anointing, as I said, that no one else will ever have. We've already seen where he was called an apostle and high priest of our profession in Hebrews 3:1. He's also called himself a prophet in Matthew 13:57. And I'm not going to turn back to all of these scriptures. I'm going to give you the scriptures because I have a lot to cover in this lesson. If I turn to every scripture, we won't get through it. And so, as I said, he was called an apostle in Hebrews 3:1. He was called a prophet by himself in Matthew 13:57. It said in Luke 19:10, he preached the gospel. And so that's what an evangelist does. And so he was fulfilled the ministry of an evangelist as well. In John 10:11-16, it talks about Jesus being the good shepherd. And that Greek word shepherd is the same word translated pastor in Ephesians 4:11, where it says, and Jesus gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists and pastors and teachers. And so that same word, Greek word shepherd, is translated pastor. So Jesus really, as the good shepherd, was fulfilled the ministry of the pastor as well, because of the same Greek word, pastor and shepherd. He also fulfilled the ministry of teacher. Mark 14:49 tells us that he was a teacher sent by God in John 3:2, it says. So we can see here that Jesus fulfilled the ministry of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And furthermore, he did it with an anointing without measure that had no limits on it. Now, don't get confused here. Jesus was fully God when he ministered. But remember in our previous lessons, we talked about the fact that he gave up his godly powers when he came to earth so he could be our example. And so he could live and die as a sinless man for our sins. Jesus couldn't die as God for our sins and it wouldn't be legal, because that wouldn't have stood up to the test of a man living sinless that could die for the sins of others. And so he was both God and man. He was always truly God. Emmanuel means God with us. But he gave up his godly powers when he came to earth so he could be our example and go to the cross as a sinless man. Okay, so now let's talk about these different kinds of apostles. We've talked about Jesus, the chief apostle. Now let's talk about the other foundational apostles. Now, everyone else that we'll talk about in this lesson has an anointing on their ministry by measure, as we'll find out here in a minute. So that's the distinguished Jesus ministry as apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, which was without measure, with the highest degree of anointing, from those I'm going to discuss now that have anointing by measure, that were fulfilled by ordinary men anointed by God. And so the second group of apostles I want to discuss now after Jesus the apostle are the foundational apostles, of which there are two types. Number one, as I said before, they're the apostles of the Lamb, which were only 12, and it's talked about this in Revelation chapter 21, verse 14. It talks about the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And then there were other foundational apostles who were like Paul and Barnabas and some of the rest of them that weren't apostles of the Lamb, which were witnesses of Jesus' death, ministry, and resurrection, and actual physical witnesses, of which Paul never saw Jesus in the flesh. And so there's two kinds of foundational apostles, the apostles of the Lamb, as I said, and other apostles such as Paul, Barnabas, James, and so forth. Now, let's talk a little bit now about these foundational apostles. Now, as I said, they have anointing by measure. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll show you what I mean, anointing by measure. Remember, Jesus had his anointing without measure. There was no limit to his anointing. However, there was to any ministry that came after Jesus. And so as we read here in Ephesians chapter 4, now remember, this chapter deals with the fivefold ministry gifts that Jesus gave to the church. Let's go to verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. In other words, we're going to have what we're going to read about following this in a measure, not without measure like Jesus did. And then we go down to verse 11. These are the gifts that we have by measure. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. These gifts, these full-time ministry gifts, are given by measure of the gift of Christ. We can see this again if we look down to verse 13. Till we all come into the unity of faith and a knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, listen, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, we're only given these gifts in a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ, of course, would be without measure, as we read before. But we have these gifts by measure. Okay, I think I've made that point. Now, these early foundational apostles were responsible for founding churches, establishing doctrine, and obtaining the revelation and writing of the epistles to the church. Now, apostles and prophets were authorized to do this because they both received revelation from God. Now, the first type of these foundational apostles are the apostles of the Lamb. In Revelation 21:14, it tells us about these apostles of the Lamb. Let me read about it. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 1, and we'll find out what the hallmark was of these apostles of the Lamb. Acts chapter 1, and we'll read from verses 15 through 22. Now, these foundational apostles, these apostles of the Lamb, of which there were 12, here is a brief description of what they were. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. These were the 120 that were in the room that received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And he said, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Speaking about Judas the traitor. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. He's talking about the 12 apostles that walked with Jesus. Now this man, talking about Judas, purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their Hebrew tongue, Alseldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, now listen, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. In other words, by bishopric, it simply means his office or his place. So someone else has to be chosen to fulfill his office because there are going to be always 12 apostles of the Lamb, and he forfeited his apostleship when he betrayed Jesus. And so it says that his bishopric or his office another will take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went out and among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Now, the one they appointed, of course, we see in verse 23, was Matthias, to take the place of Judas. But in verses 21 here and 22, it tells us what these, it tells us the characteristics of the apostles of the Lamb. Let's go back and read that again. Verse 21, wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Therefore, the apostles of the Lamb are going to be those that accompanied Jesus during his ministry on the earth. Number two, he must, in verse 22, it says, be one ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So number two, they're going to be the 12 that were witnessing of the Lord's resurrection. So they had to be one that were with Jesus in the flesh during the time of his ministry. They preached the gospel. Remember, he appointed 12 to go out and preach the gospel. Were eyewitnesses of Jesus' earthly ministry. Were eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. And therefore, Paul could never qualify to be an apostle of the Lamb because he never saw Jesus in the flesh. He wasn't one of the group that went about with Jesus and ministered with Jesus while Jesus walked the earth. And so there were 12 of these men that did this. Judas was a traitor, and Matthias was appointed to replace him. And so there were never going to be more than 12 apostles of the Lamb, and the hallmarks of their ministry were they were eyewitnesses of Jesus' earthly ministry, they preached the gospel with Jesus, they were eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection, and those characteristics, those things were hallmarks that distinguished them from any apostle that would ever follow. And so there were only, as I say, 12 apostles of the Lamb who saw and worked with Jesus in the flesh and were witnesses of also his ministry and resurrection. That's the first type of the foundational apostle. Now, the second type of foundational apostle is other apostles such as Paul, Barnabas, James, and those who were not eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection, who didn't company with him when he went about preaching and teaching throughout Judea. But there are other apostles appointed by God who were entrusted also with, even though they didn't actually see and work with Jesus and weren't witnesses of his resurrection, they did write many of the epistles, established doctrine, and did early foundational work. And so these also are called foundational apostles, even though they weren't apostles of the Lamb. Now, there's about 22 different apostles mentioned in the New Testament. And the last foundational apostle died around 100 A.D. Now, there are no more foundational apostles today. As I said, these foundational apostles and prophets were entrusted with doctrine, establishing doctrine in the early church, were responsible for writing the bulk of the New Testament. Now, obviously, we can't have foundational apostles today because there is going to be no more addition to the Word of God. And we can see that if we go back to Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, that there will be no more additions to the Word of God. Revelation 22:18, and the Apostle John, of course, is writing what was revealed to him in what we call the book of Revelation. And so John's last words here in verse 18 and 19 said, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book." This is the last book in the New Testament. This is the last book in the Bible, as a matter of fact. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He that testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And that's the last words we have in the Bible. So, as John said here, in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there is going to be no more revelation called the Word of God. And so, since there is no more to be added to the Word of God, any apostle today will not be one of these foundational apostles. And so, since there's no more foundational apostles, there will be no more added to the Word of God. Now, these early apostles were known by the signs and wonders and gifts of the Spirit operating in their ministry. Let's just take a look at some of the acts and wonders, signs and wonders that were in the ministry of these early apostles. For that, turn to Acts chapter 2, and let's look at verse 43. This is some of the hallmarks of these early foundational apostles. Acts chapter 2, verse 43 says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." So we see here one of the hallmarks of the early foundational apostles were signs and wonders that were done by these apostles. Now turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Here again we see that one of the things that marked these apostles of the Lamb in these early chapters of Acts, they were witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, as I said before, and with great power they gave their witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Now let's read in Acts 5:12. As I say, we're reading here that one of the hallmarks of these early foundational apostles was the ability to work great signs and wonders and preach the gospel with great power. Verse 12, chapter 5 of Acts. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. So again, we see that one of the hallmarks of the apostles are great signs and wonders. See, folks, there's great anointing on the ministry of the apostle. These early apostles that founded churches, that established doctrine, that wrote the Word of God, had great power and authority in their ministries. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. Truly the signs of the apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Now this is later when Paul was also a foundational apostle. And in his ministry also were these great signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. Because Paul wrote, remember, this epistle we're reading from, 2 Corinthians. He said, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And he says here, the signs of an apostle. So the apostles were known for the great signs and wonders that operated in their ministry. Now let's talk a little bit about the non-foundational apostles. They also had anointing only by measure in their ministries, just as the foundational apostles did. Remember I said, no one will ever have the anointing without measure that Jesus had. And so these non-foundational apostles are the apostle types that we have today. Now, you won't find anything in the New Testament after these foundational apostles, anyone called an apostle, simply because the writing of the New Testament stopped at some point. But the ministry of the apostle went on. Now, we don't hear of anybody in the latter parts of the Word of God called an apostle besides these foundational apostles. And today, we call these apostles missionaries. Now, not all missionaries are non-foundational apostles. Not all missionaries are apostles. Some are, some aren't. And I'll discuss that in just a moment. These missionaries, then, what are they? Well, true missionaries are called by God and sent by the Holy Spirit to those who haven't heard. In other words, they're still going out there. They're still preaching the Word. They're still founding churches. They're still doing the work that the early apostles did. It's just, though, that they're non-foundational apostles. These apostles today, called what we call missionaries, don't have any authority to add any more to the Word of God. That's all done. They don't have any authority to add to the doctrine of the Word of God. That's already done. But what they do have power and authority to do is to go forth today, preach the gospel to those who haven't heard, and establish churches in areas where churches have never been founded. So these true missionaries are called by God and sent by the Holy Spirit to still today to those who haven't heard. Now, they're not necessarily missionaries sent by mission boards and churches. Some might be, but they're not necessarily. In other words, a true apostle today, which we now call missionaries, are sent by God. See, every full-time ministry gift is a gift sent by God. Man cannot call anyone or send anyone into the full-time ministry, whether it's the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, or teacher. As I've covered in detail in previous lessons, these people are called and sent by God. So if a missionary board sends out someone to found churches, they might be an apostle, or they might not. Just because they're sent by a missionary board does not mean they're necessarily an apostle. These people have to be sent by God. Now, they could be if they're called by God to be an apostle. But sometimes, folks, people are sent out to be missionaries that are really not apostles and are not doing the work of the true apostle. Remember, an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher is someone called and sent by God. Now, the power and the degree of revelation and anointing in modern-day non-foundational apostles is not as strong and have not the same authority as in the foundational apostles. Now, they still have an anointing. They still can work signs and wonders, but they don't have that degree of anointing that they had in the early church. And I think we see that today in the ministry of the apostles and missionaries that are sent by God to parts of the world that haven't heard the gospel. They do have power to work signs and wonders, but their power and anointing isn't quite the same as the apostles and prophets that brought forth the doctrine in the early church and wrote the Word of God. And as I said, the non-foundational apostle cannot add to the Word or to Christian doctrine. That was established by definition by the foundational apostles in the early church. But there are still apostles, and they still go forth and preach the gospel in power and authority. It's just that they're not going to be adding any more to the Word of God or establishing new doctrine. Well, what then are these missionaries or apostles today going to be known by? Well, they're going to be known by the fact that they will be an accomplished teacher and preacher of the Word that preaches and teaches the Word with great power. They're going to be known by the fact that they have outstanding spiritual giftings. In other words, they work often in the gifts of the Spirit. Number three, they're going to be known by the fact they have a deep personal experience with the Lord. And number four, they're going to have the power and ability to establish churches, especially in remote areas. And number five, they're going to be known by the fact that they can provide great spiritual leadership in these newly found churches. And so then, folks, this kind of summarizes what I wanted to talk about in the title of the apostle. Remember, there's, first of all, Jesus, he's the highest apostle, he's the chief apostle, he's the apostle and high priest of our profession. And in Jesus' ministry, all the spiritual gifts were manifested. Number two, there are foundational apostles, of which there are two types. There are the apostles of the lamps, of which there are 12, and the other apostles that follow them, such as Paul, Barnabas, James, and some of those who weren't apostles of the Lamb, but nevertheless were the second type of foundational apostle. And then number four, of course, are the apostles that we have today, which you don't hear people calling apostles too much. They mostly call them missionaries, which are still working in the earth today. However, these apostles, as I said, don't have any power anymore to add to the Word of God or doctrine in the church. And so this then covers what I wanted to talk about, the types of the apostles. This is the homework for lesson HBS 150. First question, fill in the blank. An apostle is one of the full-time ministry gifts and means a blank one. That's an easy question to answer. The answer is, an apostle is one of the full-time ministry gifts and means a sent one. Was Jesus an apostle? Blank. Why? Blank. Scripture. Blank. Fill it in. Was Jesus an apostle? Yes. Why? He was sent by the Father. And our scriptures for that are John 5:30, tells he was sent, and Hebrews 3:1, that says he was an apostle. He was the apostle and high priest of our profession. Now, there's many other scriptures besides John 5:30 that tell us he was sent, but that's the one we used in our lesson. So, in the blanks goes, yes, he was sent by the Father, in John 5:30, or another one that tells he was sent, and Hebrews 3:1. Name two things Jesus was sent to do. Fill in the blanks. Jesus was sent to die for the sins of man. That was one thing he was sent to do. And number two, he was to be our example on how to live and minister in this world. Next question. Jesus had anointing on his ministry, blank measure, and I want a scripture. All right, fill it in. Jesus had anointing on his ministry without measure, and the scripture we have for that is John 3:34. That simply means that he had the greatest anointing on his ministry that anyone would ever have. In fact, it was so great, it was without measure. Next question. In addition to being the first blank, Jesus stood at the head of the list in blank FTMG, which means full-time ministry gifts. All right, let's fill it in. In addition to being the first apostle, Jesus stood at the head of the list in all full-time ministry gifts, or you could say all five full-time ministry gifts. So in those two blanks goes apostle and all or all five. Next question. How many types of foundational apostles were there? All right, fill in the blank. How many types of foundational apostles were there? The answer is two. So the number two goes in that blank. They were, number one, the apostles of the blank, and number two, the other foundational apostles that did blank participate in Jesus' earthly ministry and were blank witnesses of Jesus blank. Let's fill in those blanks. They were, number one, these are the two types of foundational apostles, the apostles of the Lamb, and two, the other foundational apostles that did not participate in Jesus' earthly ministry and were not witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. So in those blanks goes Lamb, not, and resurrection. Next question. These foundational apostles and every apostle since had an anointing on their ministry, blank measure. And then I want scripture. These foundational apostles and every apostle since had an anointing on their ministry with measure. And our scripture for that is Ephesians 4:7 and 4:13. This tells us that everyone but Jesus has an anointing on their ministry with measure. That is, it's less than Jesus who had his anointing without measure. Next question, true or false? These foundational apostles in the early church were entrusted by God with founding churches, establishing doctrine, and the revelation and writing of the epistles to the church. Is this true or false? Well, this is true. This is what the foundational apostles in the early church did and were entrusted by God to do. Next question, true or false? There are very few foundational apostles today. Is that true or false? Well, that is false because there are no foundational apostles today. Not very few, there are none. So that's why this question is false. How many apostles of the Lamb are there? Blank. Name two things that distinguish them from other apostles. Okay, let's fill in the blanks. How many apostles of the Lamb are there? There are 12, so 12 should go in that blank. Name two things that distinguish them from other apostles. Well, the two things that distinguish the apostles of the Lamb from the other apostles are they were eyewitnesses of Jesus' earthly ministry. That's number one. And number two, they were eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. So the thing that distinguishes the apostles of the Lamb is that they were with Jesus, where other apostles, after those 12, were never with Jesus when he ministered or did not witness his resurrection. So in these blanks goes 12, and then the other two blanks were eyewitnesses of Jesus' earthly ministry and were eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. Next question, true or false? Paul the Apostle was a good example of an apostle of the Lamb. Is that true or false? That is false. Paul was not an eyewitness of Jesus' earthly ministry, and Paul was not an eyewitness of Jesus' resurrection. In fact, Paul never saw Jesus in the flesh. He did have a vision of him, but that wasn't Jesus in the flesh. That was just a vision of Jesus. So the answer to this question is false. Name three apostles that were foundational apostles that were not apostles of the Lamb. Well, of course, we have Paul, Barnabas. They're the ones listed most in the book of Acts and some of the epistles. And then others we had were James, the Lord's brother, Timothy, Silvanus, and a few others. I count about 22 foundational apostles in the New Testament, of which 12 were apostles of the Lamb and the rest were other foundational apostles. There may have been more, but that's all I can find in the New Testament. Next question, true or false? Since there are no foundational apostles today, there will be no more added to the Word. Is that true or false? That is true, folks. There is going to be no more added to the Word as there are no more foundational apostles on the earth today. Next question. These foundational apostles had a little bit of all the full-time ministry gifts operating in their ministry and were also known with the signs and wonders and gifts of the Spirit operating in their ministry. Is that true or false? Well, that's a long statement, but it's true. Next question, true or false? When the last of these foundational apostles died, there were no more apostles. Is that true or false? Well, that is false. There were no more foundational apostles, but we'll find out in a second here there were other apostles. Next question. The apostles operating the earth today are often called blank. Let's fill in that blank. The apostles operating the earth today are often called missionaries. That's what we call them today. You don't hear the word apostle for people going out and founding churches and preaching the word to people who have not heard today. They usually call them missionaries. So in that blank goes missionaries, even though they may be apostles. True or false? All of what we today call missionaries are apostles. Well, from what I just said, you might say, well, that's true. No, that's false, and I'll tell you why in a second. Next question. No, because some are sent by blank and not by blank. All true apostles must be blank by blank. So let's fill in those blanks. Should be pretty easy. No, because some are sent by man and not by God. All true apostles must be sent by God. And so, folks, even though the apostles that do exist today are called missionaries, all of which we today call missionaries are not apostles, simply because some missionaries are sent by man, not by God. And so if a missionary is sent out by man and not called by God, not anointed by God, then he is not a true apostle. They may call them missionaries, but they're not apostles as the Word of God defines them, simply because, remember it says back in Ephesians 4:11, and Jesus gave gifts unto men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. If Jesus didn't give that gift to a person of being an apostle, then he's not an apostle as far as God's concerned. He may be sent by man, and they call him an apostle or a missionary, but he's not recognized as such by God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, don't forget, it says, and God set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. And so God sets these ministries in the church and calls people to them, not man. So in the blanks on this question go man, God, sent, and God. Next question. The power, revelation, and anointing in modern-day non-foundational apostles is not as strong and has not the same authority as in the foundational apostles. Is that true or false? Well, folks, that's true. The power, revelation, and anointing in modern-day non-foundational apostles, in other words, missionaries, even if they're called by God, is not as strong and is not the same authority as in the foundational apostles because they can't add to the Word of God, they can't add to doctrine, things like that. But they do go and preach the gospel to people who have not heard primarily and establish churches. And as I say, most people call them missionaries today. And our last question, the non-foundational apostle does not have blank to add to the blank or to Christian blank as the foundational apostle did. Let's fill in those blanks. The non-foundational apostle does not have authority to add to the Word or to Christian doctrine as the foundational apostle did. And so that then completes the homework for this lesson.